Luke chapter 13 begins with this account. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, Do you think because these Galileans suffered in this way that they were the worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were the worse offenders than all others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, during this time of Lent, we're grappling with this big word, sin. We're grappling with events that take place in our world that seem unjust. Lord, we know that you love us. You love all creation. Help us to understand this today and help us to carry this with us this week in Lent. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, our theme that we've been running with in the last few weeks, and you see on the front of your bulletin, the crucified king. We're talking all about the different aspects of Jesus as king and master. And this week, we're talking about the king challenged. So these people came forward with a very real world kind of situation, and they wanted Jesus to comment on that. The reason that you have your strings is, as we've been talking about, these disruptive mnemonics to help you remember things and tying a string on your finger, which is what I want you to do, and you can get your neighbor to help you if you need some help, get that string on there, is to remember this particular story today during the week and also to take time to pray. Last week I gave you a penny to put in your pocket or put in your shoe or whatever you needed to do with it to help you remember that, so this week I want that string on your finger to remind you that this is Lent, that this is a time of remembrance and close scrutiny in our lives and coming before God. One December night in 1982 in Westland, Michigan, a man and his wife were driving home. Suddenly, a 14-pound bowling ball crashed through the windshield and killed the man. Why? That question is almost irrepressible. We hear of accidents such as this in our own highways here, where a truck tire comes off a truck and smashes into a car and someone perishes as a result. And we ask that question, why? When we face sort of freak accidents or tragic illnesses, the question why instinctively forms always on our lips. It's not enough to be told that the man was killed by the bowling ball because a 19-year-old, not thinking at all, in the car ahead just flipped the bowling ball out of the car window, not thinking of any repercussions at all. Or a truck driver who wasn't properly maintaining his truck and a tire comes off and crashes into a vehicle on the highway. This is the kind of affair that Jesus was faced with in this particular question that we're dealing with, the two questions that he was faced with. Apparently Pilate had some people from Galilee killed as they were worshiping and was sitting in a place much like this. Just as they were offering a sacrifice, their own blood was spilt on the altar. The questions came, why? And around this same time, in the center part of Jerusalem, the Tower of Siloam collapsed and killed 18 people. And again, the question, why? Jesus, were these people more sinful than others? Was God singling them out for punishment? And Jesus gave a brief, clear no. God was not giving the victims their just deserts. God had not picked them out. They were just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and that's all there is to it. It is hazardous to say whose side God is on simply by looking at what's happened to them or for them. We've often heard politicians say, our country is the greatest, and our country is good, and our country is great because we're good. But in the time of the prophets of Isaiah and Jeremiah and others, Assyria was great, but Assyria wasn't good by any godly standards. In Jesus' time, Rome was great, but that greatness had nothing to do with their goodness. In fact, it had a lot to do with their brutality. Are the lottery winners of the world the ones God favors? I don't know about you necessarily, but I always find it somewhat gratifying when you read about a man or woman who's out of work and they got small children and they win some part of a lottery of some kind. And you think, all right, that's pretty good. That's maybe the way it should happen, somebody in need. But it's not always the way it happens. We read about people who have left their family and been paying child support and they suddenly win the lottery, and it just doesn't seem fair. Too bad that his ex-wife, maybe, and his children didn't win somehow. There's a time that was in the paper several years ago when no one had claimed a lottery purse for several weeks. Finally, someone showed up with a ticket. He found it on the floor of his car while he was cleaning it. And this person was a doctor. He was fairly well off and retired at the time. It didn't seem fair that this person who didn't need any extra money won all this money. Nothing against doctors, but it would have been better if maybe a custodian, a secretary, a factory worker, somebody that was really kind of struggling financially in some respects had won the lottery ticket. God is not at work making sure everything comes out right in every step of everyone's life. There are injustices. The undeserving seem to gain, the deserving lose, the innocent suffer, and the guilty often never account for their actions. Lamentations, if you take the time to read through that book in the Old Testament, talks a lot about this. Jesus himself even says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. When we don't get the rewards we deserve, we become acutely aware of the lack of justice in the world in which we live. There's a cartoon from Calvin and Hobbes. Many of you may remember Calvin and Hobbes, the pretend tiger that he played, tiger stuffed toy that Calvin played with and ran around and had all kinds of adventures. There's a comment in there. Calvin says to his dad in one of the comic strips, "Why can't I stay up late? You guys can." Then with a wide-mouthed protest, he shouts, "It's not fair!" And his dad replies, "The world isn't fair, Calvin." Walking away with a sour look on his face, Calvin says, "I know, but why isn't it ever unfair in my favor?" Now, the world is not fair. In this present existence, people do not always get what they deserve, it would seem. But we can't overstate that case. Sometimes we go to the opposite extreme. We start thinking that sin is never punished by God and that suffering has nothing to do with disobedience. Jesus certainly wouldn't agree with that notion. It's one thing to say that suffering is not necessarily a sign of the sinfulness of a victim. It's a very different thing to say that sinfulness never leads to the suffering of the sinner. According to Jesus, sin has its tragic consequences. Now remember what I talked about, sin not being doing bad things, being a bad person. Sin is disobeying God's will and way in our life. And Jesus is asked that in another part of the Gospels, about what are the greatest commandments. And he says to love God and to love others as you love yourself. Love, loving and caring for others. My wife and I were talking just yesterday about the ways we often speak to each other, and that's a rule that I think it was your aunt, had. If it's not helpful, if it's not kind, if it's not necessary, maybe you shouldn't say it. That's loving. That's caring for other people. And it's a good rule to kind of judge how you sometimes say things. Well, Jesus denied that the people that the Pilate had killed and those who were crushed by the tower being punished for being evil, he went on to say, "Unless you repent, you will perish as they did." But the world is a morally messy place that we live in today. The things that often happen in the world are not subject to very easy answers. Once we recognize the fact that prosperity is not automatically a product of righteousness and tragedy is not necessarily a result of sin, we may be tempted to conclude that God isn't really involved in anything that happens in this world, and we couldn't be further from the truth. We may imagine God is a mere observer, passively watching the world, and that Bette Midler song, "From a Distance." That's not the way Jesus saw it. God is a real player in the push and the pull of life. There is judgment, and in this world that God has made, there are consequences to the actions built into the very structure of our world. The most real example I can give from physics, in that world of physics, is if you step off a cliff, you're going to fall. There's consequences for trying to disobey basic laws, and one of them being gravity, I suppose. The Apostle Paul wrote, "You reap what you sow." Jesus said, "If you live by the sword, you will die by the sword." Even in this world, judgment does sometimes come. No, God doesn't reach down and zap a particular people or person, but disobedience to God's way, sin, has consequences. Liars soon face the distrust of others. The violent are most likely to become victims of violence. And we think back historically about violent people in history. Many of them, I dare say almost all of them, died violently themselves. Where are death rates higher than amongst the gang members? Belinda Mason, a mother of two, contracted AIDS at the age of 32, was asked, "Do you think AIDS is a punishment from God?" And she replied, "AIDS may be a test, not of the infected, but by those not infected. It tests their ability to respond in love." And she surely is on the right direction there. When we speak about punishment for sin in this world, it's not other people's supposed punishment and sin we should focus on, but our own. We're in the time of Lent. We're here to think about, are we walking in God's way? Are we, in fact, doing our best to hit that gold target on the archery target? Are we looking for God in our lives daily? The string on your finger is to remind you about God in your life. And to take a moment this week, and I dare say I'd like more than a moment, but I'm going to challenge you with a moment to think about what God wants you to do in this very moment, in this very instant in your life. As Jesus said, "No, these people were not punished because they were such bad offenders, but unless you repent, you will perish like them." It's not our role to decide the punishments of others. It is, however, our duty to examine ourselves, and that can be a very sobering exercise. It can be very difficult when we face who we are before God and before others. But God is here to help us. God is here to help us through these times, through the Spirit and through that person of Christ's resurrection in our lives. Amen.